Okay, I'll go ahead and go through these instructions one more time before we get started. Again, my name is Brian. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. If you have any questions or problems with the notes page, you can email me throughout the hour and I will try to get back to you as soon as possible. The URL is mecgroups.com/mec_research_log. And we will ask you to refresh that page several times as we add some tables and some other notes. We also ask that at this time that you download the spreadsheet tool, which we'll be using later in the conference. That is URL number 2 under the notes. Probably the best thing to do would be to right-click on that link and to save it to your hard drive and then open it up into Excel or another spreadsheet software program. Some key commands that you might find useful, *6 will mute your line if we only have to use that when we open call up from lecture mode. We'll stay in lecture mode for most of the call this afternoon, but we will be opening it up for questions later in the hour. If you are in a noisy room at that time, we do ask that you hit *6. And *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. Under the bio section in your notes, towards the bottom, you'll see a link to the MEC analyst biographies. Our primary presenter today will be Nick Osborne, and at this time I would like to introduce Mr. Osborne, who will be our primary presenter.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. Well, first of all, thank you to everyone for coming just before Thanksgiving. I'm just going to start now with the title of the topic. It's a bit of a mouthful, but the compounding effect of micro gains. This is a topic we stumbled across, and we're very glad we did. It's how small performance increases in pay-per-click, landing page conversions, completed sales, and more combine to deliver big improvements in revenue. This is, for those of you who've sat in and listened to our clinics before, you'll see that the format of this afternoon's presentation is a little different. We are not simply reporting on some huge, a test we've recently done which shows some huge increases in the conversion rates or revenues or click-throughs or anything like that. In fact, as we go on, what you're going to find is that the test results we do present are, in fact, we've deliberately selected for being very small increases, and the reasons for that will become evident. What we did at the outset was ask ourselves a question. If we're testing something, analyze something, we're looking for an increase, whether it's pay-per-click, whether it's click-through, whether it's customer retention, what kind of figure do we look for? Now in our business of marketing experiments, when we work with our partners, obviously we're hoping for huge figures like a 20%, 50%, 150% increase. That's what we hope for. But what about all those increases that we typically achieve when we're using all these different promotional and marketing tools, which hover more around the 5, 6, 7% mark? Very often when we see a 5% increase in whatever we're testing, whatever we're trying to improve, there's a temptation to dismiss it as really not very significant. You achieve 5% here, 4% there, 6% somewhere else, and all of a sudden you feel you're not like doing a very, it's like you're not doing a very good job. So we then asked a follow-up question is, well, hang on, what if over a period of time we made these very modest improvements across multiple elements in the marketing and sales path, and what if we did these sequentially? What would happen when we compounded these small incremental improvements? And this is basically the basis. This is the question we started with when we were thinking about doing this brief. And we didn't know the results. We didn't have a magical figure at the end. We just the same as I am now, I asked the question, like, what happens if we compound very modest results? And one of the reasons we asked the question is this is far more typical for a lot of companies. It's a wonderful thing where you test something, you change something, and you suddenly get a 57% improvement. It's not easy to achieve. It's wonderful when it happens. What is more typical is that we do make these small incremental micro gains. So that's what we're working on. And as we went through this, we were, the more we went into this, the more astonished we were by what we discovered. Because what happens is when you compound multiple micro gains along the entire promotional and sales pathway, the final increase in revenues can be significant. Now, we say significant because we're objective scientific people. If we were more promotional people, we'd probably say the gains you'll see would blow your socks off, but we'll stick with significant. And the other point that we want to make before we get into the figures and how we did this and how it all works is this has a real impact on how marketing groups, individuals are organized within companies and organizations. Quite often you will have one group of people in one room who are dealing with pay-per-click. You'll have another group in another room who are dealing with optimizing pages. You may have a quite separate group who are maybe in a customer service area trying to improve retention, trying to. So you may have, depending on the size of the organization, different individuals, different groups in different cubicles, in different offices, sometimes different countries, working on all these small elements we try to improve. And one of the things we hope is at the end of this session is that you will think to yourselves, well, hang on, we have to coordinate all of these promotional and marketing efforts. So otherwise, you know, individual groups are going to feel disappointed. Their manager is going to feel disappointed when they've achieved a 5% increase somewhere. And as we'll see, that disappointment is probably misplaced. Because there are two elements we're going to look at here. One is the concept of compounding, and by that we mean exactly the same as in your investment portfolio, the power of the compounding effect over time. We're also going to look at the different kind of power of leverage that different kinds of improvements can make. So, Brian, in a moment, if you can just drop in the first table there. We're just going to show you results from the two micro tests we did. And as I said right at the beginning, what you'll find is that these are actually deliberately modest improvements. You just have to click the F5 or refresh your page, and you should see that chart there now. So on this first one, here's an example of a test we did where we were looking at the effectiveness of a pay-per-click ad, and what we were doing is we were trying to improve the ad copy to improve conversions. So if you look at the chart now, the original ad copy, we were getting 10.9% click-through. We did two tests. You can see the first test didn't do nearly as well. It was a 3.3%. But test copied version 2, we got 11.6%. Now, when you look at that, you can almost look at that and think, you know what, that's almost like a wasted test. We've gone from 10.9 to 11.6. But when you look at the percentage improvement there, that's an improvement of 6.42%. So it's actually a little above the 5% that we're playing with for this brief and the Excel spreadsheet that follows. So again, look at something very modest like that. Don't necessarily dismiss it. Because on its own, it's a very small increase at first sight. But when we start looking at how that compounds, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. So Brian, if you can put in the test number 2 table.
So it should be there now.
Yeah, it's there? Okay. So the second one we looked at, if you just scroll down a tiny bit, if you can't see that on the same screen, is we were optimizing an order form. Now, this is not something that everyone does, but it's probably something that a lot of people should do. So if we look at this, what we did is we did two different versions, the original order form, and you can see that we displayed these on the site pretty much the same number of times for the test. 17,598 for the original, 17,682 for the optimized form. We have the orders under there, and again, the original 6%, we got conversion rate, the optimized form 6.51. Again, what we're looking at here is the kind of figure where And if you think within your own organization, like kind of close your eyes and think, well, how would we respond to that? Would we say this is worthwhile? Was this worth the effort, or was this something of a failure? Now, in fact, the increase in conversion rate there is 8.5%. So though the figures are quite low, again, we've got an 8.5% increase. So this is going to depend on the volume of people going through the order page as to the impact there. But as we go through this, you'll see how these very small increases are going to start to have a tremendous effect. Okay, now if you just have two like this, the compounding effect is going to be very minimal. However, if we look at a typical, and what we're doing is we have a kind of sample company that we've created for this that we'll talk about a bit in a moment. But let's say this is a website where we are selling items. We're going to have shopping carts, and we're going to start off driving traffic there through pay-per-click campaigns. It could just as well be through email and newsletter campaigns. In this example, we're going to do it from a pay-per-click. So now we're just going to have a quick look, and again, Brian, if you can drop in those points 1 to 9. Let's have a look at some of the things where we could reasonably achieve a small increase in the the percentage achieved, however we're going to measure that. So let's have a look at number one, which is something we've already covered, to optimize the click-through rate for a pay-per-click ad copy. So in this example, where everything is driven from pay-per-click ads. And as you know, and as we had a clinic on this quite recently, there are all kinds of ways in which you can do that, whether it's testing the headline, testing the body copy, or indeed testing the name of the domain name at the end of, say, you know, a Google AdWords. So that's the first step we're going to take. The second step is we're going to optimize the cost per click by adding different keywords. We're going to use negative keywords. So if you're familiar with pay-per-click and using typically something like AdWords, you know there are all kinds of ways you can kind of finesse your campaign and make sure you have the most relevant and cost-effective keywords being used to prompt the display of your advertisement. Next, we're going to look at optimizing landing pages. This is a very popular thing to do, and certainly in the last couple of years, you only have to look at a few marketing journals, and there's all kinds of information there about optimizing landing pages. And again, if you do this well and you test it, you can get some significant increases. Now, one of the points I'm going to make now with our pretend company is as you know from your investment portfolio, compounding occurs over a time period. You can't compound stuff all on one day. So when we look at this 1 to 9, imagine the company, and what we're going to do here is we're going to do one thing per month over a period of 9 months. So our first month we optimized the click-through rate to see what we could do. So just going through here, and I'm not going to go through all in detail, but we're going to optimize the landing pages, we're going to optimize the order forms, which probably I think fewer of us do, and we certainly should do. Quite separately, we're going to try and increase overall conversion rates with improved copy and content on our site, on our offer pages, on our sales pages. We're going to try and increase revenue with some upselling and cross-selling if we have some other products, if we have accessories or related products. We're going to increase number 7 there. We're going to increase revenue by some degree by doing some price testing and see which price is going to give us the best end revenue. Number 8, and again, too few people do this, we're going to increase revenue from recovering lost shopping carts. This occurs if you capture a name and email address right at the beginning, then you have an opportunity to come back and speak to people who have abandoned their shopping cart somewhere in the process. Finally, number 9 there, in our particular example here, we're going to increase conversion rates by adding credibility indicators. Now, that could be anything from testimonials to Better Business Bureau online, but, you know, some And all the ways that we can add elements where people feel more comfortable and feel that they can, that they're in a position to trust us. Now, these are just 9 examples we've chosen for this brief here. If you go back into our archives at the marketingexperiments.com site, you'll find plenty more ways in which you can pick an area where you want to optimize it a bit, you want to increase those figures just a little bit. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to tell you a little bit about our example company. Now clearly this is a company where we can do points 1 to 9. We're going to, and you'll see a lot more detail of this when we get into the Excel spreadsheet, but just, it's an e-commerce company. The monthly revenue initially, before we start all of these little micro tests looking for micro gains along the way. This is a company with $100,000 in initial monthly revenue, $85,000 in expenses, and so we have a $15,000 in initial monthly profit. The way we're going to drive traffic to this, starting with that number one, the pay-per-click, is we're gonna pay for 50,000 PPC clicks per month, and at an average at a starting cost of 20 cents per click. And then what we're gonna do, as I just mentioned, we're gonna implement each of the improvements we're going for, one per month over 9 consecutive months. And we're going to look at, for the purpose here, now what we're getting into now is our for instance company, our for instance scenario. This is not a test we have completed over a 9-month period. And for simplicity's sake, we're going to assume that with everything we do, we achieve a percentage gain of 5%. So Brian, if you can drop in the compounding incremental gains piece.
Okay, it should be there now.
All right. So now you can see, if you look in that first column on the left, these are the line at the top, the zero, that's our initial state. We have, looking across, we have no percentage gain, we have monthly profit of 15,000, we have change in profit of zero. And now you can see under that are the nine things we did to make improvements in this, in the kind of marketing sales pathway. On the next column, percentage gain, everywhere it's 5%. Now you'll see this 5% takes different forms. It may be 5% increase in click-through, a 5% in conversion, a 5% in sales. But the 5% is there and constant throughout. Okay, now if we want to look now at the next column, the monthly profit, here is where we begin to see the impact of compounding. So right at the beginning, we've got the initial state of zero. We do our improved PPC ad copy in line one, and our monthly profit is now going to go up to 19,500. Now we're going to see, if you got questions about this, and I'm sure you will, as we'll just look at these figures, all will be revealed when we get into the tool, and once we're in the tool towards the end of that, we'll open up the line, and if you have remaining questions, you can ask them then. So if you have any questions right now, just write them down on a piece of paper, and if we don't answer them as we move forward, you can raise them yourself. As we go down this monthly profit, what's happening when you look at the figure rising, starting at 15, going to 19.5, 19.999, 30, 249, 35. We're going all the way down until after the end, our credibility indicators, 63.312. What you're seeing there is the increase each month being compounded with the increase of the previous months. That's why we're going for 15, from 15 to 63, to over 63. In fact, with this very small 5% increase, and keep in mind those two small examples, that we showed you earlier, those two previous tables, were both of them over 5% increases. So this is a very modest figure in terms of what we're setting out to achieve. But our 15,000 a month after 9 months is in fact turns into over 48,000 in monthly profit. Now, I'm going to come back to this table in a minute to have a look at that column on the far right-hand side. But before I do that, I just want to say a word about the difference between leveraging and compounding. What you see in that monthly profit column, that is the effect of compounding of the gains as we go down, the compounding of micro gains month by month over a 9 month period. And again, keep in mind, these are just 9 things you can do. You can do 20 things, and it doesn't all have to be done 1 month at a time. So this is just one example here. The issue of leveraging and compounding is you see the effect of compounding. Leveraging also occurs here and is in fact then added to the compounding effect. What the leveraging is that some things you do will have a almost disproportionate impact on your profit. So if you actually look at that table again, if we look at number 2, optimize cost per click on paid search, by increasing that by 5%, the change in net profit was 3%. So it's not huge. Go down to the next one, optimize landing page, where the percentage gain again is 5%. The change in net profit there is 51%. So again, apparently quite out of proportion to what you'd expect. And a number of times, particularly when we get to the Excel tool, I mean, I am not a statistician by training, but there are some people in the group here who seem to have Intel inside. And when they were going through the figures, they were like double checking, triple checking to make sure that this was correct, because some of these figures become really quite interesting. So Brian, can you drop in that next chart, the leveraging versus leveraging and compounding?
Yes, that should be there now.
That's there now. Okay, so we can look at this just underneath the chart above. If you have a look at the monthly profit we looked at, where we went from 15,000 a month to 63,000 a month, that was a 48,000 plus increase. That's an increase in monthly profit there of 163%. No, it's not. Sorry, that is the. God, I knew I'd get one of these wrong. The 163%. That's the change in net profit. This is the effect of the leveraging, of the actual impact of 5%. Gains across these different activities. So the change in net profit alone is the 163. When you add that to the compounding effect, the increase in monthly profit is that figure at the bottom, 322%. And that's one of the figures we went back to check. Because when you're looking at these, like I say, if you scroll back up to some of those earlier charts, you know, where we increased that first chart, the ad copy chart, we increased click-through from 10.9 to 11.6. All right, this was more than 5%.
10.9.
As for the next one, when you look at the leveraging power of some of these changes, when you compound these incremental micro gains over this 9 month period, your compounded increase in profit is 322%. Now let me now spin back to what I was saying right at the beginning in the introduction. In a lot of organizations, individuals are responsible, different groups, different individuals are responsible for PPC, for landing pages, for all kinds of areas. And people may be quite unaware that the very modest micro gains they are achieving when compounded can have a huge impact on revenues and sales at the end. So I think that is something to look at almost, depending on the size of your organization or company, to look at from an organizational point of view, to make sure that people are sufficiently coordinated to take advantage of this extraordinary situation where you can make such modest gains and, you know, end up with such a remarkable kind of compounded profit at the end there. So what I'm going to do now is I'm sure there are, you have questions left unanswered by these charts, but I'm going to hand over to Bob. If you can make sure, if everyone can make sure you open up that Excel sheet now, and Bob, I hope you're there, and you can take people through and explain the different fields and tell them how they can use this tool themselves within their own company.
I am. Thank you, Nick. Brian, do you want to open up the line for just a moment and make sure that no one's having any difficulty with the tool?
Before I do that, I just got two quick points. The number two URL, which is the spreadsheet tool, if you are prompted for a username or password for that, if you just hit cancel, it should just let you save the tool at that point. Otherwise, you can right-click it and it will actually open it up in your browser window, assuming you have Microsoft Excel installed. The other point is when we open the call up here in just a moment, if you are in a noisy room, if you would hit *6 to mute your line, that would be excellent. And at this time, we'll field some questions.
So, Bob, was there something you wanted to raise, or?
Yes, it's if everyone has the spreadsheet tool open, what I'd like to do is just summarize what Nick has gone over in terms of the compounding effect and how this tool can be used to identify kind of a pro forma ability in your own organization to leverage the compounding effect. The way we use the tool is
Sorry to interrupt for a moment. Do you want the lines open now for people to ask questions, or shall we keep that until you've gone a little further in?
I believe the lines are open now. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because it has
as long as there's silence on the line, then let's leave it this way.
Well, there's a little bit of noise, Bob. So if you
If you don't need questions now, let's take it off. Let's put it back on lecture mode, and then when you're ready for questions, we can open it up again.
Very good.
Okay.
Is anyone having any problems? Otherwise, I'll close the line, and we'll go back into lecture mode. Okay.
Okay. To summarize the tool section of the compounding effect, the gains that we get from making changes over time, and the 9 that were selected, take place by virtue of two different effects. One is leverage, as Nick mentioned, and the other is compounding. And once again, the leverage is defined as a greater than 1% change in the objective, what is your bottom line, what you want to measure, and what's important to your business, with a 1% change in what you're measuring, such as click-through rate or cost per click or conversion rate. When you make a 1% change in one of those things that you directly influence, leveraging is defined as a greater than 1% change in the in this case net profit. The other effect is compounding, and once again, compounding is the element of the cumulative effect of making individual gains by virtue of these small incremental improvements. So the way you'd use this for your business is by looking at the table beginning in row 8 in columns B and C. And we've mocked up a business that has a $100,000 monthly revenue, which is gained entirely from product sales, and a monthly cost of $85,000, so a beginning initial state net profit of $15,000. The fields that are in blue font are the ones that are inputs. and that you can change to match your own business. And then the other fields are ones that are computed by the tool. So beginning with the beginning with you know, with a 20% with a 20-cent cost per click and a 50,000 initial clicks per month at a conversion rate of 0.7%, we have a monthly revenue of $100,000 to start. We did a in month one, we assumed we made a 5% improvement in click-through rate by virtue of improved ad copy. So the number of clicks didn't change, but the click-through rate changed. The number of clicks was improved by virtue of improved ad copy, and the click-through rate stayed the same. That caused a change in both the cost. We paid $500 in extra click costs, and with the conversion rate of 0.7%, gained us $5,000 in additional revenue. So that had a $4,500 net impact, impact on net profit. So this is, if you look in column O, you'll see percent change in net profit for that specific line item was 30%.
So that's
an example of leverage. Yeah. That's correct. That's an example of the leverage. Then for the other line items, 2 through 9, same kinds of things occur. We optimized cost per click by changing campaigns in CPC, which allowed us to better leverage the clicks we were getting. That saved us $499 by improving CPC by 5%. We saved $499. So that was a 5% improvement in click through cost per click. Which translates to a 3% change in net profit for that individual one. So it's kind of a reverse leverage in effect. Then through the remainder, we see that we get everywhere from a 3% in month two to a 51% high for the optimized landing pages, a 5% change in conversion rate in under those specific circumstances as of month three, gained us a 51% improvement in net profit. So as we're looking at the tool, if you scroll to the right to columns Q through AA, that section there is just kind of a working section for the tool. And is what allows us to compute the compounding effect. Essentially gives us a before and after state at each point in time. If we made each of these changes on the first day of each respective month across the 9 months, we would see that we get, and once again, we'll see at the bottom of column O, if we were to start our business at each state, beginning of each month, and make just that isolated change, we would have the individual line item changes, the 30%, the 3%, 51%. Those add up to individual increase, line item increases, month by month of 163%. But when we look back, over the course of the 9 months during which we've been making all these 5%, these nominal changes in different metrics, we see that we went from $15,000 in net profit per month in the initial state to, after the 9 months, to $63,312, which is a 322% increase. So the difference between those numbers, the 163% individual line item changes and the 322% change, that is the power that we gain from compounding, from these nominal changes month to month, the fact that we're making these what seem to be potentially disappointing changes month to month if we just look at the metrics that were impacting the click-through rate, the conversion rate, and so on. Small changes there, actually, between the leverage and in particular the compounding effect, give us a 322% improvement in net profit over the course of just 9 months. So, Nick, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay. Well, what we'll do, Brian, if you can open up the lines again, and if anyone has questions specifically right now for, well, for any of us, but if you have questions relating to the tool and the figures, then I'm sure Bob will be ready to answer those. So if you can do that for us, Brian. So if you have a question, just kind of call out, give us your first name, and ask your question. No question? Hey, when I first looked at this chart with Bob, I had about 100 questions just to understand it.
I just ask a question. This is Peter.
Okay.
I just wanted to confirm that I'm trying to figure out how the compounding has had such an effect, and I guess the part of it is part of the reason is because the revenue has increased by about 48%, and that's sort of proportional to the original profit, which was, you know, 15,000. The profit has gone up percentage-wise a lot more just because of that difference.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. You'll notice that the leverage effect can be fairly substantial, and that's why, I mean, it's certainly powerful to go from 163% up to 322%, which is, that's the power of the compounding, the fact that you're making small gains over a period of time, and they're additive. But the leverage effect, the fact that you can make a comparatively nominal change in something like click-through rate, or your conversion rate, and have an impact such as 30 or 50% is a big factor. So at the table at the, once again at the right, that working table kind of helps to illustrate that a little bit. As we can see in the columns Q through U, kind of the blue-green, that's the beginning state each month. And the right hand is the ending state, and we can see that that by changing the click-through rate by just 5%, we gained a 30% improvement, a $4,500 improvement in net profit, because it cost us only $500 in click costs. But because of our at the same conversion rate, we were able to get $5,000 in additional revenue with a nominal cost increase by making some changes to ad copy.
In layman's terms, the compounding occurs because each time you make an improvement, the next improvement you make is the next 5%, you're actually increasing your 5% on a larger figure than you started with. So the compounding is exactly the same as in an interest-bearing bank account or an investment portfolio, where a 7%, you know, if each month at the beginning of your investment you invest 10,000 and you're making 7%, it's not a huge gain. But after a few years, when your portfolio has grown to 57,000, then that 7%. Delivers you a much higher figure, and that's the same principle being applied here. As the figures grow month by month, the 5% in the subsequent month has that much higher impact. Am I explaining that well, Bob?
Well, let's ask Peter.
I understand the compounding effect. Yeah. I think my point is that the effect of the compounding seems to be greater when you're in when you start off with a smaller margin business. And if you were to start off with a $50,000 profit from the beginning, then you would have a smaller percent change in the profit. So I guess for smaller margin businesses, this is even more important.
Oh, that's a very good point, Peter. You're right. We started out with a margin of $15,000 on a monthly revenue of $100,000. So that is depending upon what industry you're in. That for retail, certainly that's a fairly healthy margin. And in fact, you can play with those numbers, and that's why the tool is. And by the way, as a matter of course, nothing in this tool is protected. Nothing is locked out. Everything is completely open. You know, all we ask is that as you use it, and please feel free to share it with anyone else. That you just leave the copyright notice in and don't sell it. With that in mind, you can change the click-through rates and any other metric. The percent gains that are all 5%, those are all you can change to your own do your own pro forma analyses. You're absolutely right, Peter. You can do pro formas on different margins. If your business has a 5% margin, a 3% margin, you can put your own metrics in those blue cells, or in fact in any cell, and see what the compounding effect could do for you. You're absolutely right. It would definitely matter where you're beginning in terms of net profit. So yes, if you're on a tight margin business, it's you're right. It would be this is even more important. The compounding effect is more effective for you because you're beginning with a smaller net profit.
Can I ask a question?
I have a question too.
My question, this is Mark Steele. My question was, this assumes that it's clear to you where the impact is coming from, but obviously the month that you improve the paper to the ad copy and that, there's also a dozen other things happening that could be influencing what's happening with your purchases and that. How do you tease out what's affecting and sources and whether what you've done was the source for the improvement or not?
That's a very good question, and is a continual challenge. We have, for the sake of illustrating a point, we have assumed that we had perfect knowledge of, that we were able to wait an entire month between changes, just for simplicity and illustration, that we could tell exactly what the impact was and only make one change per month. The concept applies regardless of the time frame, Mark, that's a very good question, and the way you do that is through procedures and discipline through testing. We have some links on the MEC website for ways in which you can make your procedures. We've got a brief about A-B split testing. We have briefs on each. In fact, I believe we've covered all 9 of the topics in one or more briefs that are available free of charge at the MEC website, including the PPC and the and conversion rates and so on. Each of those topics is addressed in one or more briefs, and the way you do that is having effective measures in place, a testing platform, which is maybe an intimidating term. It just means that you have a way of measuring the important things. Click-through rate is an important metric. Conversion rate is an important metric. Some of these other metrics that you have tools in place and that you have controlled procedures in place so that you can, in fact, measure these things. And once again, we have at least one brief on each of the relevant topics for how to do that. And they're all available free of charge at the website.
Thanks.
Does that help, Mark?
Yeah, it does. I've got to get off now, but thanks. This is a very interesting topic.
Thank you.
I have a question. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Scott Fasser.
Hi, Scott.
I'm looking at the revenue after and the cost after, and one thing I'm not seeing is that the actual margin of the product itself. So as you sell more, as you gain more revenue, you're also costing yourself more in cost of goods sold or things like that. So I'm not thinking up how your net profit is accurate.
Well, this thank you, Scott. That's this is the isolated. This is impact on net profit, and you know I mean that's a good point. If you are changing your cost of goods sold by virtue of the changes that you're making, then you know then you're right. That's a you know that's another effect on your net profit.
Well, if you're selling a physical good and you have a cost of goods sold, I guess that would be one of the distinctions I would make, because you talk about it being an e-commerce site. So if your cost remains the same, like an e-book or something like that, where you have no physical costs that increase as the number of units you sell increases.
Yeah, that's correct. And once again, the average order amount, if you see sell C14, the average order amount is the revenue from the product sale. So your margin on the product is also a factor for this. If you have a fixed margin on your product, that's what the average order amount is intended to cover.
So Bob, would we have to incorporate one more variable into this spreadsheet?
Yeah, you'd have to incorporate what your cost of goods sold is as a percentage of revenue.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
A percentage of C14.
Yeah, because the average order amount is just the total amount for the order. But if it costs you, you know, $200 to fulfill that, to get that $285, then as you sell more, then you're actually paying more. But as long as there's positive margin there, that your profit would go up just not at this rate for a hard goods, cost of goods sold type business.
Yeah, and in fact, there's another factor that, once again, for simplicity, is not considered and is comparatively small, and that is for in 7, 8, and 9, in months 7, 8, and 9, the offer price optimization, abandoned cart recovery, and the credibility indicators, the reason why the cells Y27 and or 28 through 30 are kind of grayed out is that in fact that after before and after conversion rate is no longer really accurate, but because by improving sales, presuming this is your only avenue, you know you have in fact changed your conversion rate. But by doing upselling or cross-selling, presumably that was part of a telephone-oriented, you know, you're upselling or cross-selling by virtue of something else, and you know, it's stated in cell comments in each of those. You know, if that's done by phone sales, we would need to add an additional element, you know, of tracking individually sales made because of upsells by telephone and what is actually clicked through. So, you know, and that's another, you pointed out a good element, Scott, that the cost of goods sold is a complicating factor and something that certainly could be added. That other element of continuing to track after doing order price optimization, after doing the upselling, cross-selling, that we would need to individually track now what our site click-through rate is independent of telephone sales in order to continue to keep that, in order to be able to track conversion rate. We have to keep track of sales made by telephone versus ones exclusively from the site. So that's a very good point, Scott.
Was this particular experiment a hard goods, or was it electronic goods that were sold?
This is actually a mock company. We didn't, in fact, make 5% gains in each of these. What we did was identify that, you know, as Nick had said at the outset of the call, we were asking ourselves the question, what is the impact? You know, we have some experiences of making large increases, and those are wonderful when we have them. Do we fully appreciate when we make nominal gains? When we make, you know, when we do, when we spend money to change ad copy, you know, write ad copy, or change the site and test it, and so on. When we make a 5% or, you know, single-digit percent change in what we're measuring, you know, conversion rate or you know, click-through rate, are we disappointed? And do we fully appreciate the value of the, you know, of the cumulative effect of doing that? When we're disappointed by nominal gains, are we selling our efforts short? When we're disappointed, and so we wanted to investigate, to go look at, you know, do a mock exercise. So this is this part of the brief is not empirical, but rather a modeling exercise.
Yeah.
So it's applicable, you know, variously to retail or to pretty much any online business. What will change is the net impact. As I think it was Peter who pointed out that the margin, you know, depending upon what your initial margin is, the importance, how much gain you get from the compounding effect, will depend upon your business's specific margin. And that's why the tool is here to help you to use it for your own business, to plug in your own cost per click and your own clicks per month and so on, and see what kind of gain, you know, what the relevance is for your business. So, Scott, did we adequately answer your question? Or?
Yeah, I just that was just some of those.
That was a very good point. Yeah, thank you.
Because you could really look at two different spreadsheets, one that has you could build in a cost of good variable into this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're absolutely right. We could just add it to the yellow section, cost of goods sold, and then compute the effect on each of those. In fact, I've made a note to myself to by the time we have this on the site, I am going to play around with doing that. So,
question. This is Chad. Do you have a recommendation of a particular order of the 9 areas that you can optimize that you would start and end with?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm sorry. Your first name again was
Chad.
Chad. Thanks, Chad. That's a very good point, particularly with compounding. The order in which the changes take place is very important, because once again, when you make a gain, everything downstream in time is affected by how much gain you made early on. So, yes, it's a very good point. If you were to make large gains early on, and the lesser gains later in the game, you would have more impact. You'd have a greater improvement, particularly in the compounding side, than the reverse. If you make your large gains late in the game, you benefit less than if you make your large gains early on. So that's a very good point. Thank you.
Yeah, so,
I would just offer. In addition, Bob, that there's one of two ideas here. You could either go with what had the greatest change in net profit in our examples here as possibly your first implemented changes. Specifically, optimizing your landing pages had a 51% change in net profit. Alternately, you could check out our marketing blueprint in the archives of the website. I don't have that linked, but if you just search for marketing blueprint, you should be able to find that. We've kind of come up with that process over several years of testing and have found quite a bit of success with that order that's presented in that document.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. And in fact, if you want to experiment with that, what you can do is change the numbers, all the 5% numbers in column E. You can play with different numbers and puts. Just move the line items around and place them in a different order, and see what the impact is of making larger versus smaller gains at different points in time.
And Bob, like you said, Bob, what we've done here is we've just put together a model to illustrate a point. And depending on the company, I mean, our items 1 to 9, like I say, we don't have anything in there for email or for newsletters, or there can be all kinds of other, action descriptions you can put in there depending on your own products and services.
Very good.
Yeah. So I think we can if there's anyone else has questions, you're very welcome to email them in to editor@marketingexperiments.com. And I think we've had it's strange. It's always the case whenever you ask, are there any questions? There's this resounding silence, and then followed by some tremendous questions in this particular clinic. But like I said, and like Bob said, what we did is we started here asking this question of, should we dismiss micro gains? And we've been through this exercise and built this model really to arrive at the answer of no. You should, within your organization, you should not dismiss micro gains, because if you start looking at them in detail and you look at the compounding effect and you look at the leveraging effect of some of the actions you can take, the outcome can be very significant. So if you have further questions relating to anything to do with this brief or the tool, you're very welcome to email those in. We go through all of the questions and we pass them around ourselves, and if you send us a question, you will receive an answer. I'm just going to finally, we're just wrapping up into the last couple of minutes here. Brian, can you take me off lecture mode off again just one last time? This is a question we like to ask at the end of each of our briefs, simply because we choose our briefs, we build and present our briefs based a lot on the feedback we get from you. There's limited value of us just saying what we think is interesting and important. So we depend a lot on you letting us know whether we're doing well, whether we are touching on topics that are important to you. So I'd just love for you just, again, a first name and just call out. I mean, have you found this particular clinic to be useful for your business?
Yes.
Tom Lamb.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And also another thing important to us is certainly I can see use in the using this Excel tool for almost any business. Did you learn something? I mean, did you have like a small eye-popping moment? Did you learn something new from this brief that you hadn't thought about before?
Yes.
Well, I think it's great to be able to compare the effectiveness of different areas optimizing for your business.
Right.
Be able to see which ones are more effective than others.
Right.
Yeah, I think in general this is a definitely a more advanced concept and a more advanced way to conceptualize your business and your marketing programs. And I think that it's really helped me kind of package it all together into one way of talking or looking at it that I, as a tool, I didn't have before.
Good. Well, I was, like I said earlier, I'm very aware. I've worked with we've all worked with a lot of companies over time. And I, as we were going through this, I became very aware of how segmented some of these activities can be within an organization. and that individuals and individual working groups can be disappointed in micro gains in various areas and not understand the broader picture and not work side by side to achieve some of the much larger results we've seen here. Okay, well, thank you very much. And like I say, if you have further questions or comments, please email them in, and thank you very much, so close to Thanksgiving, for picking up the phone and allowing us to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.